What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. Welcome back if you're a regular listener, and if you're not, here's a little bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get incredible results. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with amazing genetics giving you health advice online, you are in the right place, because every week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet, we discuss relevant topics, and we help you get clarity on these topics so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journey. Each week I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. Coming up on today's show, I'll be joined by Martin and Shirley Kemp to keep speaking about 3 in 4 Brits who ignore their health concerns. But up first, we are joined by Rachel Beck, Director of Vigor Vitamins. Rachel, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm really well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking. So, Vigor Vitamins is a UK-based wellness brand created by yourself and by women for women to make high quality effective supplements simple, trustworthy, and planet conscious. Correct?
Absolutely. Amazing. That's correct. Yeah,
that is music to my ears. This is what we like to hear. Supplement brands that are doing things correctly and ethically, which is what we live for.
Good.
So what inspired you to start Vigor, and let's deep dive into the world of supplements.
Yes. Okay. So I hit 40 and obviously needed some assistance with my supplementation, but I'd gone on my own kind of health journey. I was wanting to lose weight. I was wanting to strength train. I was wanting to prepare for kind of perimenopause. And I was overwhelmed with the supplement market, people telling me that there's magic fixes for take this pill and you'll feel like this and take this. And
marketing.
I wanted to bring it back down to basics. So a lot of my social media and a lot of my kind of advocacy is on health and is on the core pillars of health. So it's exercise, nutrition, gratitude, getting fresh air, connection with people. And it's all of those elements of life. And then if there's some assistance that we need from a supplementation point of view, that is exactly that. It's supplementation. It is not instead of. So you've got to be doing the main healthy lifestyle things and the consistent changes.
Yes.
And then the supplementation is the icing on the cake. So I couldn't find a supplement brand that wasn't using plastic bottles that were half empty. I couldn't find one that didn't have a lot of fillers in. And I wanted to start from the beginning and create one myself that I knew I could trust, and therefore other women like me could trust it as well.
Well, I really like that. And I think you've hit the nail on the head with the whole supplement thing, because I say this to people all the time. It's a supplement if you cannot get it from your diet.
Yes.
And I get it. There are certain things which are harder to get from your diet. You must have lots and lots and lots of something to potentially get the right amount. But long and short, it is there to supplement if you cannot get it in naturally. So that is music to my ears. And that's something that's great that an owner of a supplement brand also, you know, started, because that's what you were pushing and you wanted to do.
Yes.
So what's the biggest thing you've learned about supplements since starting your journey?
A lot of the ways of trying to get it into our bodies is just not the correct way, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to put processed food in my body.
Okay.
I don't want to put extra additives and flavorings. I don't want to put fillers. I want to put as high quality ingredients as I can get, which are gentle on my body and are good for me. So when the first product I brought out was a multivitamin, which helps with all areas of vitamin consumption, so all 13 that you need, but also I put 2 extra in for brain function and hormone regulation, which obviously helps women of a certain age. And I started from the beginning, so that the manufacturer that actually helped me, they've been going 40 years and they helped me formulate this, and they offered tablets, and I said, why wouldn't I have tablets? And they said, well, a lot of the time you just pass them through your body, then they're that hard pressed that you don't actually absorb them.
Yeah.
I didn't want to look at gels or gummies because no woman needs extra calories, but nobody needs extra calories. We don't need sweeteners. We don't need preservatives. We don't need flavorings. And so the natural way of getting them in our bodies was a capsule. So that's what we went with. So we started from the basics of that. And then we looked at each individual ingredient. What do we need on a daily basis for our bodies to function? Yes, promote firstly eating well and your intake of vitamins B from your food. But as you rightly said, things like vitamin D, we just can't get enough of from food. And we live in the UK, and we're in Yorkshire. It's grim, you know, a lot of the time. So we just don't get the vitamin D, and that then massively affects your immune system and your energy levels and everything else. So for me, it was about that the solid foundations of health, making sure that all the vitamins that I needed on a daily basis were in my body, were being absorbed by my body. My body knew what they were, and that they were as gentle and as effective and high quality as possible.
Okay. I mean, that sounds great. And the fact that you've obviously gone to a supplier who's been doing it for a long period of time as well and whatnot, that's great. So you said 13 vitamins and then plus two for the demographic you are trying to target, or you are targeting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Not trying. You're clearly targeting and you're doing well.
I wanted for myself, I wanted, you know, to hunker down for perimenopause and make sure that, you know, as you kind of middle age as a woman, your hormones start doing this.
Yes.
Your brain starts going a little bit foggy. And if I could add something in that was a natural ingredient that we either produced ourselves. So the brain function side of things is choline, which we put in, which is great for cognitive. And that basically can be eaten in eggs. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are conscious of eating too many eggs because we've had a lot of this misinformation over the years about cholesterol and all that kind of stuff, how they're not healthy. So, and obviously women worry about their the diet and what they're putting in and the calories they're consuming and all, you know, that side of things. So choline was a really good ingredient for us to add. And then the other thing is inositol, which is actually, it's not a vitamin, it's a sugar really, but it helps with hormone regulation as well. And it feeds our body to help with hormone production. And I know it's targeted for women because I've made it for myself, but my partner gets force-fed them on a daily basis as well.
You know, so, and he probably feels better for it as well because there's probably some super essential things that he's lacking or unintentionally as well, like we said. The whole vitamin D thing is huge. Like we're looking at, you know, I say to all my clients, if it's cloudy, 20, 30 minutes, not 10 minutes of sunlight, you know, 20, 30 minutes. If you could do more, great. You know, just go for it when you're going for your long walk. But it's not always easy. So that's great. I just want to quickly go back to something. In terms of supplements, you know, for people that aren't sure, you know, what are supplements and why do people take them? I know this is backtracking a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah. So supplements, in my head, are things that you would be taking that are supplementing either your diet, your lifestyle, or your body. And what I mean by body is, so collagen is everywhere at the moment, and we've just brought out a collagen product a couple of weeks ago.
Nice.
And the point that I would want collagen is because I'm 40 and I've lost 1% of my natural collagen production every year since I was 25. So I'm 15 years deep of, you know, not having as much collagen. And therefore, my skin is starting to sag. I get creaky. My fella's got arthritis in his fingertips, actually. And since he's been on the collagen, his arthritis has cleared up. So it's not just a beauty product. It's not just your skin. It's your internals. It's your muscles. It's your bones, your cartilage, your gut health. Actually helps with sleep as well because of its glycine content. So for me, a supplement is something that you can consume which helps with something that you're either not producing naturally or that you're not consuming naturally.
Let me start.
For me, I eat a really balanced diet. I you'll see on my social media, I cook a lot. I cook a lot from fresh. I'm always pottering around the kitchen and meal prepping and showing people how to batch cook and things. And for me, that is the foundation of it. But sometimes Kevin might say, why don't we have fish and chips for tea, Rich? And I'm like, oh, it's great. I've probably not got all of the vitamins in that I need that day. But for me, if I've taken that nutritional insurance policy of my multivitamin, I know that I've got everything in regardless of what. If I've had an off day or I've been swayed to, you know, drink too much Prosecco, which happens on a regular basis.
Balance is important, right? That's a big thing I like to push, and I'm a big advocate for it. I think no one that's ever done all or nothing has ever stuck to it, you know, unless they are from maybe a military background or one of those less than the one percenters.
Yeah.
I don't think 99.9% of people, everyday people or anyone in particular, has ever stuck to an all or nothing thing for more than 3 months, 6 months, and then stayed that way.
Yeah.
Because it's, you don't get fun. We want fun. Life can't always be fun.
No, absolutely. I mean, having the restriction, I think, is good from a mental capacity to kind of test yourself.
And
I was, you know, I say I've been on a health journey the last couple of years. I've definitely drunk too much. I've definitely consumed too much. Not bad food, because I don't like saying bad food and good food, but I've consumed too much high calorie, over carby food. And the last 2 years I've lost 2 stone. I have revolutionized my drinking, and I did that by going 6 months sober. And it was the all or nothing thing is tough, but it was really good for a reset in my head. It was like, right, well, I don't do that old habit or that old lifestyle anymore. And this is now, going forward, how I want to reframe that habit and that thought pattern, I suppose. Yeah.
And obviously, after you've done your reset, or like you said, you did your all or nothing for a period of time, you then now have more balance in your life. And like you said, you have your fish and chips from time to time when your partner's trying to sway you, because we all know what it's like with partners. They sway you, and they, you know, you're sometimes that person, and then they're that person, and it's, you know, you take it in turns, but that's the whole fun of it, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned that you kind of had a little bit of a change in your life. At what age would you say someone should start thinking about taking supplements and vitamins? Is there a particular age?
It's a hard one, because it depends, I suppose, on lifestyle, on what they're able to consume naturally, and also on their age and what their body is producing. So from a collagen perspective, I would be advising 25 plus is when people are kind of lacking in it, but they might not need as big a dose as someone like myself is, you know, 15 years of the decline. So I might be balancing that a little bit more. People take different vitamins for different stages of life. Like folic acid's really great, isn't it, for pregnancy, because it's good for energy and hormone balance, but it's really good for cell growth and DNA formation. And so we advise pregnant women to take that. So I think at any age, I've seen some really scary, and I mean really scary, graphs about how men and women decline and from a health perspective. And what basically happens is you go from like an infant, and then it goes along on this like graph of, yes, you're healthy, and then you start declining because you don't exercise as much, or you get comfortable, or you eat the wrong foods,
lifestyle
or
changes,
you know, you're not,
you're busier,
and your muscle naturally declines, and then this line goes down and down and down and down, and then there's a stop point, which is the inability to live alone and the inability to be independent.
Oh,
and that
really
is the scariest graph I've seen. So the earlier along this line you go, the longer then that line goes along, and the longer time you have before you start the decline. So muscle and strength training is just crucial for people.
Amen.
Women definitely ever, you know, getting up to age 40. So whatever age anybody is, regardless of the supplementation side, and I know I should be pushing supplements, but regardless of the supplementation side, the health thing comes first. And if being healthy to you means that you are taking a supplement to make sure you've got all the vitamins into your body's working correctly, then perfect.
Yeah.
But the other things, sleeping really well,
hydration,
exercising, getting fresh air, connecting with people, less screen time, all of that is vitally important.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And I think as well, I know people out there who will take supplements because they feel like it helps them feel better. And I'm like, yeah, go for it, because there are, like we've said, there are supplements out there who will help, you know, people that don't have maybe the best lifestyle, the best nutritional balance, that like a little bit more processed food, that like a little bit more this, a little bit more that. You know, your supplements are going to help regulate you and keep you a little bit more in check. And if that's what you need to do to be part of your journey to get to where you want to, then big thumbs up from me. Fantastic.
Absolutely. It's all about feeling better and feeling like you're doing some, you know, you're doing something, or you're being, making a positive change and impact in your life. And if that means that you still do eat a bit of processed food because that's your option, and you don't really know any different from a knowing how to cook perspective or anything else, then if you're doing that, it's better than not doing it. So I would always, I think we always just need to keep developing and learning, don't we? And improving ourselves. And if that is supplementing your diet because you know it's not great, then perfect.
No, I very much agree. Now, on to overhyped supplements. Do you think there's anything out there that people should avoid, or that are maybe overhyped, or anything that maybe is, you know, being spoken about lots at the moment that you're kind of thinking, don't really see that being the best?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I think anything with additives, sweeteners, sugars, calories, you know, the gummy side of things. When I was looking into collagen, I looked into lots of different ways of getting it in your body. And for me, if you're trying to be healthy, what you don't need to do is eat a sweet every day, and you don't need to put extra colorings in or additives or flavorings. So as pure as the ingredients can be is the route I'd like to go. So if you need the gummies because you can't swallow tablets, or if you need a gel because it's convenient, it's better to take something rather than not take it. But if you can get the purest form and add it into your daily routine, and it still means the consistency sticks, that is the way that I try to advocate for health. So I'm not saying that, you know, that all gummies are bad and that all things with flavourings in are bad, but if we're trying to eat less processed and eat a better varied diet, then supplementing with those additional things in is just not for me, really.
And I actually saw something a couple of months back about creatine gummies. Now, obviously, creatine is the most researched supplement on the market. You know, it's the most scientifically backed supplement on the market. Cognitive and physiological benefits are through the roof. Now, I was seeing a lot of gummies because they came out, and they weren't even having less, they were having less than a percent of the supplement. So people were ingesting these gummies, and that's why I'm kind of like, gummies are a great idea, but it's also quite scary, because actually if that's not getting tested properly, people are getting away with it. So I think the tablets are a great idea personally for me. Tablets and powder, I'd do it so
all day long. The creatine is great, and is probably the next product that we're gonna, you know, gonna bring out, just because of the backing. I take it myself. And again, you know, if my demographic is ladies of 35 or 30 upwards to 60, creatine for cognitive function and trying to help support muscle where we've got massive muscle decline is a win-win for me. Yes, I'm a good advocate of creatine. I take it in powder format, and it's not nice, like, but sometimes the stuff that you've got to do in life to get the biggest benefit isn't nice, like, you know, going in the gym and not eating a burger.
Well, a little tip for you, I mean, I put mine in a whiskey glass with an electrolyte. I spin it around. It's a bit grainy, it's a bit salty, but with the electrolyte, it goes down the hatch. Done. Happy days.
Well, I'm Yorkshire, we just shot it with a bit of water, so
well, there you go. Have you come across any downsides or negative effects from taking any particular supplements?
The creatine does make you retain a little bit of water, but that's only when you're getting into it, I think, initially. That's the only one that I've really seen. I used to take a lot of protein powders because I was gymming. The problem that I have with protein powders, again, is the additives, colorings, flavorings in them.
And they taste horrible.
And the calories. So I had a woman actually that called me the other day, and she's like, Rachel, I've just all of these supplements that people say you should be taking. I'm so confused. I'm trying to lose weight. This is what my routine is. And she was telling me a routine. And she did 2 protein powders a day. And there was about 150, 200 calories in each of the protein powders, because she was probably having them with milk, and she was maybe putting a bit of fruit or a banana in or something. And that was like an extra 400 calories. And as you're trying to as you're trying to diet or lose weight, especially when you get to your mid-40s where it's just so hard to do, she was like piling on, you know, piling on weight. And I said, it might be the fact that you're eating those. Try to get your protein in, you know, in naturally, your normal diet. Yeah. Eat a chicken breast, eat some salmon, you know, load up on eggs. But if you need to take it because you miss a meal, great. But don't have that and then 3 meals straight, because you're just going to struggle calorie-wise.
No, I agree. Why do you think people are still hesitant with some supplements? Do you think there's still a stigma?
I don't know whether or not it's a stigma, or until people need to learn lessons themselves before they make changes, don't they? So I have been iron deficient, which floored me, like crying, not able to get out of bed. My energy levels were just through the floor. It was horrendous. And so I was put on iron tablets. And I've also been borderline vitamin D deficient, and I get probably a bit of that seasonal affective disorder during the
SAD.
Winter.
Yeah.
And I crave a holiday. I'm like, I crave sunshine. I keep telling the fella that it's medicinal. I'm like, I need 4 holidays a year,
the
because
doctor,
you know,
has
I like
recommended
the sun.
I go on holidays.
But I think it is the vitamin D and the lack of vitamin D. And so I have been borderline vitamin D. And when you've had a vitamin deficiency or a deficiency in how your body's working, or a health concern, you then think, oh, I need to stop that happening again. People that have sailed through life and have eaten all right and have probably not noticed, and that their bodies are quite resilient, because I think our bodies are quite resilient, they've probably gone along plain sailing. But they might have had 3 illnesses in a year, whereas if they were taking a vitamin D supplement, or they were taking a good multivitamin, they might have had 1 or none.
Yeah.
But people don't know that until they've had them. So you can promote proactive health and you can promote all that, but we're unfortunately in a society where something goes wrong and you go to the doctors and they say, why not take this tablet or that? Whereas we need to flip health the other way around. You need to be proactively managing your diet, your exercise, your sunlight exposure, your connection to people, your gratitude, all of that. And doing it that way around, but we just don't deal with it like that in England.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the topics I'm going to be speaking about in the second half of the show, which is really interesting that you say that. So 3/4 of Brits neglect their health. So funny you say that. You know, it's a problem. Right, we've got time for a few more questions, if that's okay.
Yeah.
What makes Vigor different from other supplement brands out there? You've obviously mentioned, you've touched upon a few things at the start, but, you know, let's reiterate the points and anything else you wanted to add.
Yeah, okay. So the collagen product that we've come out with was a bovine and a marine blend. So I don't know if you know a lot about collagen, but again, I went to the basics of how do I want this collagen to be consumed? How do we want to put it in a product or in our bodies? Mm-hmm. And for me, the always the starting point of something is, if it's easy to take, people will be consistent and consistently take it. So I didn't want flavorings, sweeteners. I've gone on about this already, but flavorings, sweeteners, calories. And because they're also subjective. So you might like a lemon flavor of something, but someone else might not. So it needed to be like a plain thing that you could add into your daily routine for people to be consistent. And then I started looking at the types of collagen. So you've got the main 3 types, but there is more, is type 1, type 2, and type 3. Type 1 collagen is the kind of the skin element of things. So it's the most abundant one in our bodies, and it's skin, hair, nails, bones, wound healing, that kind of thing. And that is generally marine collagen. So it's really bioavailable. It's really small particles and easy to absorb. Type two is cartilage, so it's like joints and flexibility and pain relief, you know. So if you, you know, that ooh creaky as you stand up, that's your type two. And then your type three does skin as well, but it's muscles, blood vessels, so it's all your internal stuff, organs, and that is generally bovine. Now, bovine also does type one, but it's not as bioavailable. And so what I looked at was why am I choosing between my skin being firm and my hair and nails being really nice and my internals working, because you know, I shouldn't have to. So what we basically did was combine a marine and a bovine blend.
Okay.
So we've got 31 day supply, 8 grams, and it's no fishy burps, no horrible taste, no smell. You can have it. My mum has it in water, which, I mean, that's not for me, but fine. She has it in water, but you can put it in hot, cold tea, coffee, juices, protein shakes if you're shaking, yogurt, porridge, cook with it, bake with it. So temperature-wise, it cooks with all the temperatures.
Okay.
And that, for me, is a good, it's the first time it's been done in the UK, a pure blend of marine and bovine, and it ticks the type one and the type three box, for me, it's because it's easy to use, people use it, and I've had really, really good reports from it. So I think, yeah, being the first company in the UK to bring that out is a real, to say that we started last year is a real achievement, and I'm really proud of the products we've brought out.
Amazing. That's great. Thank you so much for that one. And finally, where do you see the supplement industry heading in the next few years?
I would love it to be less wasteful, less plastic bottles, less half-filled plastic bottles. I would like refillable pouches to be used a bit more. I would like the... I would like the the misinformation.
You can swear, by the way. You can swear.
Oh, can I?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I would definitely like all the bullshit to go. The misinformation around take this magic pill and it'll do this. I want that to go. Yeah. And I want supplement companies to take a more responsible approach to health and try to work from a proactive health perspective promote proactive health than just trying to sell people something when there's a some money to be made, margin to be made. No. I just think it needs to be a lot more moral. And it's a good market to be in, but I think we have a responsibility to look after people, and it's unregulated. So I'd really love to see it a bit more regulated as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think everything you've said there hits the nail on the head with kind of how I view things as well. I think I just think there's so much misinformation, and there's so much, you know, I can make a quick buck here and I can make a quick buck there. I think with fat loss, everything works. Okay, I don't agree with everything, but everything works. Mm-hmm. Shakes, you know, Slimming World, carnivore, vegan, if it fits your macros, you know, whatever you do, it all technically works.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in my eyes, it's all down to energy expenditure, calorie deficit. You know, there's research out there to back that is exactly how it works. But I think there is so much misinformation, people pushing their own agendas, trying to fill their pockets, when actually it's about finding something that works for the individual. And the supplements out there in the supplement market, there are things, like we've said, that are clinically and researched, backed time and time and time again, that work. And they are the things that need to be pushed, not, you know, some absolute BS, you know, supplement that doesn't even work. Oh, it worked for me, it helped me, you know, do this and do that. No. Is it science backed? Does it work? Yes, great, let's have it, let's do it. And if we can't get it from our diet, then we'll take it as a supplement.
Absolutely, yeah.
Rachel, we are out of time. So thank you so much for your time today. Where can people find you online? Drop the website, social media pages. If you do YouTube as well, please plug away.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Well, it's Vigor Vitamins, which is V-I-G-O-R, Vitamins. So you can find us at vigorvitamins.co.uk. Mm-hmm. We are at UK Vigor Vitamins on Instagram. I am on TikTok. I am on LinkedIn. It's Rachel Beck. And I am on Facebook as well. And I'm more than happy to speak to ladies that are confused about supplementation. I will not try to sell you anything. And if it's not right for you, it's not right for you. But if you are confused and need any advice, I am more than happy to speak to people. Diary permitting, obviously.
Yeah.
Depends on how many people contact me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. It's been really, really insightful. And thank you. Keep pushing, you know, a great brand, which has a good purpose. And thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
Right, guys, coming up after a short break, I'll be joined by Martin and Shirley Kemp.
FUBAR Radio. Politics Uncensored.
The more alarming question is, what does this say to victims of these sorts of crimes which have been alleged on them? Essentially, what they'll be looking at is two men who have a huge online influence, who say some of the most disgusting things online and spout off some of the, I think, most dangerous sort of ideas and narratives in the online space, that they've essentially been able to travel to the US while they're still under investigation in multiple countries.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Have you noticed the way fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because conveying your message with sound is the most effective way to communicate to the players on the pitch that they're rubbish. And this works in advertising too. You see, research shows how brands that use radio to amplify their advertising are 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Are you aware of the tea alarm?
Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's this cultural phenomenon that we have in Britain. It's an alarm at 3 p.m. Where everybody in the UK has to have a cup of tea, and if you miss it by a certain number of minutes, you get fined, basically.
This ain't real. This is not real. I'm not playing into this.
Yeah.
You think me watching Keeping Up Appearances, you think Mrs. Bouquet was missing a 3 o'clock tea alarm? Y'all won't get me.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When I've met people in the past, I'm like, oh yeah, I really love him, he's the one. But I just knew they weren't. I'd say it, but I knew I didn't mean it. But when I met you, there was a different feeling. Like, it's like your gut just tells you. When people used to say, when you know, I was like, oh, piss off. But when you know.
When I met you and times got hard, I would come up with a strategy to make it better.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with Georges. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Earlier in the week, we caught up with Martin and Shirley Kemp discussing how 3 out of 4 Brits ignore their health.
Martin and Shirley, welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to jump straight into this, okay? Because we don't want to waste any time. This is going to be super exciting. So you've both been on a very open personal health journey, correct?
Yep, correct.
And what sparked the shift for you to start talking about your health more seriously?
Well, I think prevention. I have been talking about prevention, and knowledge are so powerful. So for me, I think it's always good to talk about things that you've suffered from, because there could be someone who's just starting to suffer from it and et cetera. So your information is powerful to them. But what I was really intrigued about is prevention. So when Bupa came to us and told us about this new DNA test, about the medication test, I thought that's fantastic, because we're all going to take medication at some time in our life, unless you're super, super healthy and you've never had anything. So What was interesting, it was a really easy test. It's just a swab test in your mouth. You send it off. Within a week, you get your results back. And for me, something I suffered from as a young girl was called endometriosis. So basically, very powerful period pains. Mm-hmm. And what you are prescribed normally for that is anti-inflammatory drugs. So my red zone and the medication that I shouldn't be taking came up as anti-inflammatory drugs. So I've got that information. Now, I'm in my 60s now, but imagine how helpful that would have been also when I was younger.
Well, exactly that.
But going forward, all this information then goes on to your medical record. So if you do end up having to go and have into hospital or needing more medication, your doctor will now know what not to give you. That is very powerful information.
Yeah, very, very powerful information. And I think the thing is, right, is going back onto what you said at the start, peer-reviewed and hearing feedback from someone who's actually done it, taken part, is so much more powerful than Bupa just going, oh, hi, guys, we think this would be really good for you. Because
But this test, you don't have to belong to Bupa. You know, you can take this test independently. I think, you know, when we were kids, we all grew up with our parents saying, don't argue with a doctor. You know, just take the doctor for what he says.
Yes.
A second opinion.
Yeah.
That has changed with our generation. You know, and it is best to be armed with as much information on yourself as possible. And that's what this test gives you.
It makes his job easier, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And knowledge is power, right? I say this all the time. The more information, the better. And now we have so many more markers with blood tests and, like you said, DNA tests that actually give us that stronger front foot, really, with moving forwards with things and our own health, because health is well.
It's amazing. You know, we're living in the future. You know, we are now testing DNA. Mm-hmm. We're seeing what our bodies can cope with and what they can't. It's a wonderful way forward. And I don't think we should ignore it. You know, I don't think we should go with our head in the sand here. We need to. All this information is out there, and I think we should get it and use it.
Yeah, health is wealth. My biggest advice to people is don't Google your symptoms.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what too many people.
That's what we should call hypochondriac.
Yes. So, do you think the people in the UK are just afraid to talk about their health, and especially with their families, or do you think that that's maybe something that's becoming a little bit better?
I do think it's becoming easier now. I mean, absolutely. I think we're becoming a lot more open, and just as you're kind of the younger generation, we are talking more, we are sharing more, simply because you have the means to share, you know, all the social media. Whereas when we were growing up, there was no means to kind of find out unless you found an encyclopedia.
I think
the fact that we can share information informs people, and then they don't feel so shy to talk to someone else about it.
I
think it's easier for girls and women to talk about health to each other. I think it's something that men struggle with. You know, to be open about your health. But I think things are changing slowly, but I do think there's an ego barrier that men have to get over to be able to talk about.
Amen. I couldn't agree more.
But I think you're absolutely right. Your health is your wealth, and you really need to understand. And we've both, especially Martin, we've been through situations where your health, you know, is in danger. That is a terrible, scary place to be. So, and you can't, you know, once you're in that, you can't get your way out of it, and you just hope that time you'll heal. But your health is your wealth. So I take into prevention is the most serious thing, the best thing you can do.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think something that I really, really push for is prevention. You know, getting things early, focusing on things early. You know, not just eating a little bit better, but actually moving a little bit more, being a lot less sedentary. We're so guilty of just sitting around and not doing very much. And, oh, I'm tired. But go for a walk and see how more energized you are, right?
I just started playing tennis because tennis is one of the best hand and eye coordination for the brain.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a preventative.
It's, yeah.
And I love it.
Cognitive function, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm playing with women of my age. One, we laugh so much. We're right. outdoors, we're running around. And the other days, I go to a gym and I do circuit classes.
Right, love that.
So I don't talk myself out of it because I think, oh, I'm 60, I shouldn't be doing that. Mm. I'm talking myself into it because I feel like the older I'm getting, the harder I have to work at keeping
yeah. it. Yeah, exactly that. And laughter is medicine in itself, right? How yeah. many people do things on their own? But when you go and do it with a group and you find some friends and you natter, you know, even as a man, like I love just doing things as a group because sometimes it's just fun to bounce off others. As a couple, how do you support each other when it comes to staying healthy? Obviously, Shirley, you've just said you go and do your circuits and you do your tennis. Martin, what exactly do you do? And do you kind of support each other? Is there a team effort? Do you have your own individual approach? You know, what exactly is it?
I think we are a bit of a team, aren't we?
Yeah, we do play tennis with each other.
We play tennis together.
Not paddle yet? You're not on the paddle?
I really want to play paddle. That's I don't have a paddle court near me, but that's on my list.
Yeah, tennis is our thing at the moment. And we play that together. But, you know, I think if you're in a relationship that, like Shirley and I, where, you know, we've got a good few years under our belt, so, I think you do need shared hobbies. And one of the things that we always love doing, we're out in the garden together. And right. our garden is our hobby, isn't it?
It is. And that gets you outside, yeah. which is another important, because I was yeah. saying, sometimes I can be stuck indoors, stuck on the sofa watching, and I feel tired. Mm-hmm. As soon as I go outside, I just feel connected again. And yeah. you know, I wake up.
Yeah, and in a garden, you know, you're doing a lot of walking, you're doing a lot of work, you're mm-hmm. at... It's the love of doing it as well. And I think that shared hobby for us is important.
Yeah, a project together, but a hobby, I totally agree. You know, even relationship advice, you know, yeah. health and fitness, you know, but also relationship advice, which is true, having hobbies with your partner and something you can yeah. enjoy together.
Yeah.
Have there been moments in your lives where you've avoided health issues and you've had serious concerns?
I don't think so. I don't think for me.
No, I've always been very intuitive with myself anyway. I'm not one of those people. I'm one of those people that I need to know basis. I'm very much, yes. I need to know and grab this early. I don't kind yes. of want to suffer with anything. It's what you said, your health is your wealth. So I've always wanted to feel really healthy. I'm one of those people, I'd like to care for others as well. So
yes. I know
that if I'm not well, I'm not going to be able to care for anyone else.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of worked hard on trying to keep healthy.
Yeah, good. For me, I don't think it's one of those things that I've ever avoided. I don't think I've ever known something that was going wrong and then avoided it. I just think, but I know plenty of people that do.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that it's usually men.
Yeah,
don't want to talk about that.
But like you said, the ego gets in the way. Yeah. No one needs an ego. We can all just be okay yeah. with, you know, being open about things. And I think that's something that I think we as men, as a collective, are trying to push and improve. But we are a little bit short on time. So last question for me. I really appreciate you guys, sure. by the way. So you've lived life in the public eye for decades. How has your approach in fitness and well-being changed over the years? Because obviously it, as itself, health and fitness, has changed and developed.
I think it's amazing. I think it seems like this generation are far more into keeping fit. So when I was younger, I was naturally slim, naturally active, but I didn't belong to a gym or anything. We went out dancing. On a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, dancing.
So that was, love that.
Dancing wasn't dancing in those days. But I was definitely dancing.
Yeah.
But I've lost the question now.
So it's like
a health change.
Oh, yeah. So, but what I did notice, as you get older, you're losing mass, your body's really changing. And I think mm-hmm. even more so for women, I think we have a lot more hormonal changes.
Mm-hmm.
So as a woman, don't give up on yourself. Keep going. And I would say you've got to kind of work harder, but you've got to make that work fun. And that's why yes. I said I work out with girlfriends. We yes. laugh. We have fun. We have coffee after. So,
perfect.
Yeah, make the effort, but do it with friends.
As a man, I think what I find important is to try and keep up your muscle mass as well.
Mm-hmm.
make sure that, I know as we get older, we suffer from more aches and pains. We do, yes. Really, you know. Yes. It takes you longer to get out of bed in the morning. Right? Mm-hmm. And it will come to you, George. Don't worry about it.
Already does.
But it takes you longer to get moving. But you do need to carry on lifting weights, make sure you're doing something that is strenuous so mm-hmm. that it is good for your muscles.
Yeah. Perfect. Amazing, guys. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your tour and whatnot, and we will speak soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
So we've got Dr. Matt Morgan. Someone's heart stopped beating for 8 hours.
So he was stuck on a ledge in a freezing snowstorm. And his heart stopped for an amazing 9 hours. He's still the world's longest surviving cardiac arrest patient. And he lived because he was cold. You know, there's a saying, you're not dead until you're warm and dead.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out!
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and yeah, being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay, on paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I want to find happiness and I need him to be kind.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau, exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Right, guys, now we're going to be doing something a little bit different this week. We're not going to do a viral TikTok. We are going to go through the top 10 barriers to going to the gym more often, because I find that lots of people have barriers, they have excuses. There is also 20 gym excuses on here as well. This was, I'm pretty sure, some research done by Virgin Active, and they worked with some sort of mathematician from the University of London to create a formula to help get people motivated. But we're not going to go through the formula today. We're just going to go through some excuses, and then we're going to do some listener questions. Right, so the top 10 barriers to going to the gym more often. Number one, lack of time. Cool. Well, we all have 24 hours in a day. No, so lack of time is a super common one, purely because most people aren't organized enough or we juggle too much. Now, I do something with my clients and we do a time audit where you would give me all of your time, a breakdown of what you get up to in a week. I put it in an Excel spreadsheet and we will find pockets of time. There is enough time in the day. What's your screen time like? Is that quite high? Do you spend lots of time procrastinating? What's your screen time like on the TV? You know, what is it? There is something that is going wrong for you to have a lack of time. Some people have 2-3 jobs and they have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children. So that might be a reason, but for a large percentage, and I'm talking a large percentage of people, lack of time is absolute bulacha, absolute rubbish, does not exist. 2, I can't be bothered. Well, I can assure you one thing for free. I can't be bothered all the time, but if I only went to the gym when I was motivated, then I would have probably only been to the gym half the amount of times. It is all about discipline. It is all about putting your kit out on your bed, putting it in a bag, getting yourself prepped the night before, knowing what you're going to do in the gym. Don't go to the gym and just go, oh, I'm going to go on a treadmill. Like, come on. There's so much more you can do. Muscle tissue is scientifically backed to be the most incredible thing for longevity of life. I don't know anyone who's here for a short time. I'm here for a long time and a good time. And I plan on being here for a good time. And the gym helps that. 3, lack of money. I get this one. Life is getting more and more expensive. But, and this might sound absolutely brutal and harsh, but you don't get larger by spending your money on good things. You are spending money on too much food, or you're eating too much food. So there is a lack of money because you eat your money. That's the problem. So the way I look at it is, if you had a takeaway every 10 days instead of every week, already you've broken that cycle. And then you've also just saved yourself 20, 30 quid, depends how gluttonous you are. For me, probably more 30 quid because I'm an absolute gluttonous medieval king. So, you know, all of a sudden, £30 is a gym membership at the gym, Pure Gym. They do not sponsor the show, by the way. Option 4 is, I find it difficult to stay motivated and keep up with my routine. Yep, like I said with the other one before, can't be bothered. Well, if I was motivated, you know, you can't just go to the gym when you're motivated. I'm also not telling you guys to go 3-4 times a week. I'm not telling you to go 5-6 times a week. I'm telling you to go 3-4 times a week. So that's an acceptable amount of time. 5, something else always takes priority. If your health isn't a priority, then you are the problem. I'm sorry, but your health is wealth. If your health declines, guess what? Your life declines. And then it becomes a real uphill struggle and a battle. 6, work always ends up busy. Yeah, I get that, but we don't work to live, we live to work. I think that's the expression. Maybe the other way around. You get my vibe. 7, I've not got anyone to go with. Now, this is huge. I've always wanted to bring out an app for people, but I'm sure there are loads of creepy dudes out there who would just join the app for the wrong reason. So it probably wouldn't work. But you don't have anyone to go with, that's fine. Contact your gym. See if anyone else has said, oh, I'm lonely, I want to go to the gym, I need some help. A coach, a PT, again, if finances are tight. Social media, find someone that's local to you. Go up to someone, try something new and say, hi, I love what you do. Can I train with you sometime? There are Facebook groups. There are groups out there for people that are lonely in the gym and need help and support. So, but that is a very valid one. 8, I don't really know what I'm doing. YouTube is free. There are coaching programs out there for £30 a month. Obviously, that comes back down to money. But you can get programming and such done, programming and food done for a very, very, very affordable price. So if you don't know what to do, contact a coach, ask someone online, go on YouTube. It's free. 9, I find the gym intimidating at first. Well, good thing that's at first. So go in, walk around, leave. Go back the next day, do the same. Go on a machine, do a couple of sets, leave. Build confidence. Otherwise, how are you meant to get better at anything? Think of that time when you were a child and you were learning to ride a bike, skateboard, rollerblade, run, do anything. The first time is daunting. I am probably the most confident, overly confident individual in the world. I find things daunting and difficult all the time. I just have to realize that it's the first time is like riding a bike. You're gonna suck. It's not gonna be easy. But everyone's in there working on their goals, working on their dreams, and working on themselves. No one ever went to a gym session and left and went, oh, I feel awful. You always feel better. The endorphins say exactly that. And number 10, the gym is always too busy. That is an absolutely shambolic barrier. I'm sorry, but where do you go? What time do you go? That you do realize there are lots of 24-hour gyms out there, and there are lots of ways to kind of go at a sensible time. I think it all leads back to lack of time, lack of preparation, lack of want, lack of need. You know, if you want something, you'll find a way. If you're on a fat loss journey and you're struggling to lose fat, look at what you're doing. If what you've been doing is what you've always done, that's not always going to work. You just have to remember things change, things get harder, your lifestyle changes, your job changes, all of the above. Okay, right, guys, that is the 10 barriers to going to the gym more often. Hopefully that helps. Hopefully you've maybe seen something that you do. Maybe you've seen a pattern. Who knows? But guys, that is the end of today's show. Just a massive thank you to Martin and Shirley Kemp and also Rachel Beck for joining us today on the show. A massive, massive thank you as always. A reminder, you guys can download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We are at What The Health Show on Instagram. If you need any help with your health and fitness journey or your goals, I do provide a top tier coaching service, which is no bullshit. I provide solutions, I solve problems, and I'll hold your hand every step of the way. If you're interested, at George Burt on Instagram. Just a thank you. Another jam-packed show next week at 11 a.m. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Happy October. Love you. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.